In 1901, a woman by the name of Annie Taylor climbed into a barrel so that she could ride that barrel over Niagara Falls, the first person to do so. The reason for her crazy endeavor? She was struggling to make ends meet, and she was hoping for fame and financial security. It's Ryan from United Faith Mortgage, a faith and family mortgage team that tries to improve your financial outlook without having to ship you over a 170-foot waterfall. Our mortgage team happens to be an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls. There's no middleman. This advantage often allows us to get you a better rate, which can save you monthly and lifelong money through a refinance, or help you with a cash-out refinance, cashing out some of your home's equity to use for life. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp., 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to nmlsconsumeraccess.org. Corporate NMLS number 1330. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Utah.
Joining you right now is our good friend Adam Holtz with Plugged In. Just taking a look around at some of the media that's available for us this weekend. Adam, it's always good to have you with us here on Mornings with Tom and Tobby.
I love my stop in Chattanooga each week. It's one of the highlights of my week, so thanks for having me.
Oh, we love having you and eating your snacks. And let's get into this film. There's a film out, and it really is about a woman who did some really amazing things during World War II. It's called Irina's Vow.
Yeah, you know, this is one of those movies that as the blockbusters start to line up for the summer and you start to see commercials, this one's kind of under the radar. It's based on a true story, and it is about a 21-year-old Polish woman named Irina. And she is living in Poland, really right as the Nazis occupy and begin, the Holocaust. It's right on in the early days of the Holocaust. And she sees an atrocity committed before her eyes. And we see it too. And that's actually the primary reason that this movie is rated R, which is, this is a pretty shocking, violent scene early on. But that galvanizes Irina into action. And I'll sort of compress the plot a little bit. The gist of it is she works for a German major whose star is rising in the German army. He's given a huge villa to host parties, and she is sort of the manager of his property. And she manages to hide 11 Jews in the house without him knowing. So it's almost like a hiding place kind of story, broadly speaking. And in some ways, you would say there's no way this could ever actually happen. But it's based on a true story. But unlike the most recent version of The Hiding Place, this is an R-rated movie. There's a little bit of other content. There's some sexual things that are suggested that we don't really see anything. And I won't give away too much of the plot. So there are some grittier elements here, but that one violent scene right at the beginning is the main thing that earns an R rating. And I think from an artistic perspective, it's actually so horrific that you understand why Irina responds the way that she does. She sees the evil and the horror of the Nazis being sort of unveiled for the first time, and she decides, I have to do something, and she puts her life at risk to do it. So this movie certainly will not be for everybody. It's not for children. But if you are a World War II history buff, if, you know, a story of heroism in this vein sounds interesting to you, I think it potentially is worth considering. And obviously you can find our full review at PluggedIn.com.
Okay, Adam, let me ask you a question about that, especially with the opening scene. I know a story maker's whole goal is to get you to be on the side and to like the heroine the hero. That's the whole reason behind that. Is that the vehicle that they're using so that you understand the plight of this person? Is that
absolutely
why that scene exists?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think sometimes we can look at content and movie and say in a movie and say, wow, that was utterly gratuitous. And gratuitous means it was unnecessary completely to tell the story. And I don't think this actually is gratuitous. It's extreme, but it's extreme, I would say, in the same way that Saving Private Ryan has a 22-minute scene at the beginning that once you see it, you can't unsee it. Or even The Passion of the Christ, both of those are R-rated movies with very, very graphic depictions of certain kinds of violence, but it's done for the reason of helping us understand things at a very realistic level. And I think the same is true here. But when you see a mom and her child, you'll know if you're squeamish, this might be a good time to go get some popcorn and just know that bad things happen to that mom and her child.
Okay. Yeah. Adam, thank you so much for that. Adam, you've been unpacking some media for us, but there's some media you need to unpack in a different manner here today. So walk us through this. What are we talking about here?
Well, there's a very popular kid show. I believe it's on Disney Plus in the United States, but it's an Australian show called Bluey. Bluey is an Australian blue heeler. So this is a show that stars cute little dogs. And in the last episode of season 3, which just aired on April 14th, Bluey has a friend of his who happens to be a Chihuahua named Pretzel, who mentions in passing that he has two moms. And I think that we're seeing more and more of that kind of representation, even in shows really aimed at kids. And I think it's important for us as parents, as grandparents, to be aware that there is a lot of pressure on the makers of these shows to have that kind of representation. And so if you were inclined to give the makers the benefit of the doubt, you might have just said, well, they just caved to the pressure and they threw in one line of dialogue that offers representation. And I think there's a lot of ways, actually, that we could respond to that. We've had a very robust conversation, even among our staff this week. On one hand, we know that there are LGBT families out there, and that's the world that we're living in. And we have to teach our kids how to interact with that, because at some point, they're probably going to come into contact with somebody who is a part of an LGBT family in some way. So I think that's one way we can look at it. I think there's another way we can look at it, which is probably how a lot of people who hold to a traditional view of sexuality are going to respond, which is, why are we importing this LGBT message into a kid's show? Why do we have to take everything and force it through that grid? And so even a little bit of that, I mean, you could argue, well, it's just one line of dialogue. But I think about, Jesus talks about a little bit of yeast leavens the whole dough, right? And another passage of scripture, if you cause one of these little ones to stumble, it would be better if you tied a rock to your ankle and threw yourself in the ocean. And so I think we need to be vigilant in really paying attention to popular shows that are incorporating this kind of representation, because it's not going to stop. And as parents, our responsibility is to know, when do we turn the show off? When do we say, you know what, we are not going to engage with that? And on the flip side, maybe we don't watch the show, but how do we talk to our kids about this issue? Because it's not going anywhere in our culture. Mm. And so there's got to be a conversation there about what God says about the design for sexuality, and also how we love people who may make choices that we don't agree with. And so there's a robust conversation that needs to happen there. Our culture is having it all the time. We've got to have it too, and we've got to be wise and discerning as parents and grandparents.
Thank you so much, Adam, because I was just thinking, it's not going anywhere. And if the church doesn't choose to engage beyond just, we are in an understanding of what's right and what's wrong before God, but we still have to have conversations about living in this world and being loving and respectful to people and being in community with certain people that have different values, and how to do that in a way that can help draw them towards curiosity about your relationship with God and towards God.
That's
so
right.
I think we do need more of those kinds of conversations. A show like that could actually help start a conversation like that. So
that's
could
right.
be something you could do that would be a good thing out of a show like that.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Tabby. And I think our culture is so lost and broken, and we have so many people looking for ultimate meaning and identity in that area of sexuality. And this is just evidence of that. I also think we're seeing skyrocketing rates of younger generations identifying as LGBT. And so I think it's worth asking the question, what's changed? And I think shows like this are a part of the change, right? When you grow up with this normalization of these sorts of choices, it's not surprising to see that more people are willing to embrace them. So there's a big conversation to be had here. And hopefully, you know, even how we've talked about it today gives you something to think about in your family and with your kids.